Blog Talk Radio.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
What's up, Giblets? It's the one, the only, who the fuck else, B-Train. Now, I'm just going to start off the top of the hour. Since it's Money in the Bank week and I am excited about the food, I am excited about NXT. Should I be excited about Maine? I mean, it's a wait and see type thing, but June 11th, Little Rock, Arkansas, Monday Night Raw. We see the ladder, or ladders, in the ring. You've got Finn Balor on one, Braun Strowman, Alexa Bliss, Ember Moon. I mean, hell, Bobby Roode, Sasha Banks. The promo got to the point, who's going to win Money in the Bank, who's going to win, who's going to win. Alexa Bliss, it's hilarious, dude, the feigning of injury and gimmick, I love it. I didn't mind the whole childish catty cat type bullshit at the beginning of the show. That's normal for WWE to, I know it's not our same time. My God, you guys are like flies to honey. It is good, though. It's a good thing. Thank you all our fans in Canada, the UK, the United States, Canada, Latvia, Norway. Thank you for guys for listening. Australia, Japan. Love you guys to pieces. But anyways, back to topic at hand, which is reviewing Monday Night Raw. You had a fatal four-way, a women's fatal four-way with Ember Moon, Natalya, Sasha Banks, Alexa Bliss. And I'm shocked that Natty actually won the match. The fact match flowed really nicely. It wasn't very long, like a gauntlet match, and fans could actually pertain to it or actually flock to the match and pay attention to it. Natalya ends up winning with a sharpshooter. She ended up, you know, a lot of women got thrown in the barricade. I mean, Ember Moon was very intense with that. I'm surprised, you know. Sasha's shoulder and neck wasn't hurting from that shot. All right, so, and after that, you've got, Drew McIntyre versus, Drew McIntyre and Ziggler versus Breezango. They beat down Breezango. Breezango puts up a little bit of a fight, but McIntyre and Ziggler basically win the match. Ooh, whoop-de-doo. Roman Reigns versus Jinder Mahal, a little interview backstage with Renee saying how Jinder cost him his opportunity at legitimately becoming Universal Champion, blah, blah, blah. Then you see a squash match basically between Roman Reigns and Singh. Jinder Mahal attacks Roman right after the match, blah, blah. Okay, so B-Team versus Heath Slater and Rhino. B-Team is being built like they're nonstop because you guys remember Heath Slater and Rhino. We were talking about how Rhino needs to split, blah, blah, blah. Well, now you guys have stopped your talking, and now you're bitching that the B-team's getting a push. I'm confused. I'm really am. Bayley versus Ruby Riott. Okay, before that, though, Elias's guitar gets curb stomped by Seth Rollins. Great. You know, I'm not going to go into detail about what happened there, but, you know. Okay, Bayley versus Ruby Riott. The match wasn't even shown on the replay, but I basically watched it on YouTube, and that way I could give a fair assessment. As I've been handed more notes. Curt Hawkins versus No Way Jose. Really? That's what you handed me? You just made the list. Sami Zayn, the obstacle course. Okay, that was funny. To me, that was funny. Why? Sami Zayn outwitted Lashley. Is this a precursor for Money in the Bank? I don't fucking care. Because here's the deal. Sami Zayn is going to give that match some life. Before I get to, you know, past the obstacle course, I just want to say, you guys take it seriously in sending him in. He did his job. And, you know, as I'm finishing up watching the replay, literally the folks, so I have to go into work an hour early because, you know, semantics be semantics. Braun Strowman versus Finn Balor versus Bobby Roode versus Kevin Owens. Again, a fatal four-way to showcase and give you the prelude to what's going to be on the main card. All four men that I just mentioned are going to be in the men's eight-man climb to the ladder to get the briefcase, Money in the Bank ladder match. The Miz, Bobby Roode, Finn Balor, Braun Strowman, Rusev, Samoa Joe, Kevin Owens, and a member of the New Day. Who's it going to be? I don't know. Shinsuke Nakamura versus AJ Styles. Why am I carrying on into a Money in the... Did you hand me the wrong notes, man? Money in the Bank is Sunday. The prelude Monday Night Raw wasn't bad. It just begs the question, why is there a fatal four-way or triple threat match every single time to make a match known? Because I guess you're like, well, you don't want to do run-ins because you could risk injury. I get that. That's stupid. And no, here's the thing. Tonight on SmackDown Live, I wonder how much more explosive it's going to be. Considering what WWE has done in the past for Money in the Bank, it's the pivotal pay-per-view. Look at Carmella. She's the first woman in history to cash in and win Money in the Bank, or win her right to be champion, right? So she basically went through Charlotte Flair. Thank you, Billy Kay, Peyton Royce, for setting that up nicely. She basically won, and it's a big deal. The men's, that was funny. Baron Corbin. Oh, Baron Corbin. You know, my hometown basically made it known. Where's your briefcase? You can either win at these things, folks, or you can lose. I'm not going to talk about winning or losing in Money in the Bank, but I am going to talk about winning or losing as a fan. See, we try and make ourselves more important in the modern era, you know, by getting chants, buying T-shirts, pretending to be our favorite superstars by giving a show out in the front parking lot. Well, that's some of you guys. I don't really fucking care to do so because watching it is kind of funny and also it's lame. I'm just going to say it. You guys putting out a show, you guys trying to get signed, it's called Go to a Wrestling School and do things the, well, not the easy way, but work through it. Get yourself noticed on social media. Eventually, even if you're not trying to get signed, you may get signed. Through all this random fucking jargon that I'm talking to you about, here's what I have to say about Money in the Bank. A friend of mine and I were talking last night about how she and I are going to enjoy our time in Chicago. But as the title says, fingers crossed about fingers crossed about Money in the Bank 2018. The card is good. The question is, will the pay-per-view be decent for certain fans? If you're going into it thinking there's going to be a shitstorm, that's the fucking problem. And who can blame you? Because in all honesty, WWE has had their fair share of what the fuck moments. Why did this go this way? Why did this match have this outcome? And God forbid somebody went over his heel or some. I don't fucking care about stances and character and character, you know, like character traits and qualities about who's heel and who's babyface. I don't fucking care. What I care about is going to a show, sitting down, watching the whole thing and then assessing it on whether it was a shit show, awesome, fucking yes, I loved it, or God damn it, why did this have to happen? Because that is, regardless of whether you love the product or not, that is the goal of a promoter, to get us talking about it. But the only problem with that theory is, and that philosophy, is if we're talking about it, didn't anyone ever think to tell anyone that is, you know, a part of creative staff, not just creative, but the people in general, saying, you know what the fans want, really? Are we puppets on a string? And this is what I was trying to get to yesterday, but I didn't quite get the fucking chance to do so. So here's the deal. Fingers crossed and hope for the best in Money in the Bank 2018. Because last year's, I don't care what you say, Carmella winning, we kind of had to. Ellsworth ruined the match, yes, but kind of had to because that match was not all that grand. The women didn't take any risk. And people say, well, by risk, do you mean getting them hurt? Let me finish. Doing like a moonsault off the top of the ladder, am I a trained athlete to do that? So can I really make an assessment or judgment on that call? No. But the card that I'm referring to, 2018, the women's match, Becky, Alexa, no, actually, let's list off SmackDown. Becky, Naomi, that's the only two favorites. Lana, okay, forget about her. And Charlotte. Oh, never mind. Lana, Becky, Charlotte, Naomi. There's the women on SmackDown Live. Now the women on Raw. Ember, Sasha, Alexa, I don't even see. That's the thing. If anything, I pay attention to the main people that grasp my attention on Monday Night Raw. And as far as dark horses go, I could see Lana. I could see, hell, anybody for that matter. Oh, Natalia. Bad Natty, I love you to death, dear. Don't kill me. The women's match is more entertaining to me than the... Well, that's a lie. The men's match has the elements, combustible elements of being great. Does that sentence make sense? No. Just like having Lana in the match instead of a seasoned veteran who's been wrestling for the longest time. I don't care if she's heel or babyface, dude. You're not getting the point. Rusev, a member of the New Day, The Miz. So there's three. You got Bobby Roode, Kevin Owens, Braun Strowman, Finn Balor on the other end. I think the tag team championships should have been, or the tag teams should have had a Money in the Bank briefcase. Because to be quite honest, putting tag teams against each other, you have to fill the card. It's pay-per-view. It's Chi-Town. You want to give them what they want. Well, and here's a thought. Do something new every once in a blue moon. When it comes to putting matches together, do I know firsthand? No. I've never been a promoter. I'm just giving you an outside observer's opinion. I want to enjoy. I want to have a good time at NXT. I want to see firsthand if WWE can redeem themselves after the debauchery that was Backlash. And I say debauchery because Backlash really didn't set a stage for anything. And I'll give you an example. Samoa Joe versus Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns has no championship because Lord only knows, some people are saying that he's only had a set amount of title defenses. I don't look, well, I do look at how many times you appear. That's what I look at. Because the point is, he's holding the championship. He's still the champion. That's the underlying factor, right? I don't think I can hold my tongue any longer when I say, why are you trying to partition him to be something he's not? And I'm referring to Brock Lesnar, who, again, is non-existent at this pay-per-view. And if he does show up, it's only despite the fans who said something, right? That's why I'm cautious about Money in the Bank. That's why I titled the title, Fingers Crossed, Hope for the Best, Money in the Bank. NXT makes it work. How? Nikki Cross versus Shayna Baszler, Aleister Black versus Lars Sullivan, Velveteen Dream versus Ricochet, the Tag Team Championships, Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly, or whatever they have in place as the Freebird rule with Undisputed Era, versus Arne Larkin and Danny Burch. Is it sad that I memorized the card for NXT? I don't even have, I'm not even clicking. Do you hear any clicking, dude? No. The fact that NXT has less on their card and they're still somehow managing to make it work with what they got. And does Maine do the same thing? Sure. But I have less faith in what Maine roster's ability is as far as presenting us with a decent outcome. If Braun Strowman wins, I'm not going to lose my shit and start blogging about how disappointed I was in the fucking, excuse me, booking. What I'm going to complain about is after the show. I just emphasized, I'm going to watch the show, I'm going to give it a chance, and then I'm going to assess what I liked and what I didn't like. And some people make the mistake of viewing this from the business side of things instead of the fan side of things. So, therefore, it's really, really good of me to warn all of you that don't be surprised if certain outcomes are how they are. As far as Asuka versus Carmella goes, again, I'm going to wait and see, because it makes no sense for her to have over 800 victories in the span of a year and a half, 2 years. Okay, and then all of a sudden she loses to Charlotte Flair, who her matches are okay, they're decent, but they're not, oh wow, I really want to watch this over again on Hulu, or I really want to see her replay on YouTube. Charlotte Flair is decent, it's just what I'm saying, but for her match versus Asuka, yes, it was a very good match. And it's just, I did not see how it was supposed to. I'm going to just say it. New Orleans is the place where streaks go to die. Undertaker, Asuka. Who knows, if there's another undefeated superstar in WWE, their streak will die at a WrestleMania in New Orleans. Trust me. That's aside the point. I told you I was going to continue my madness. Ooh, yeah, dig it. My craziness. Booth Cannon. Today, because I don't care whose feelings I hurt, who I, you know, step all over, unless it's important, someone important to me. And trust me, I don't want to try and hurt Kurt's feelings. Why? Because here's the deal. I'll get suplexed on the fucking concrete. To answer your question, pray to Kurt, man. He's my big brother. Just saying. Like a big brother there. Anyways, enough of the fucking smushy, mushy. It's time to enter my mind, damn it. Enter at your own risk, bitches. Look in my eyes, what do you see? The cost of personality. This is like a super card. If more anything, you know, Money in the Bank 2018 is going to feature a match that we've already seen at WrestleMania. We've already seen they're building a crescendo. Shinsuke Nakamura, AJ Styles. Is this match going to be worth the $451 that I paid for two tickets at Allstate Arena? See what I did there? I'm not implying guilt, but I did spend over $1,000 at WrestleMania for two tickets in the Superdome. I watched it. There's some good points. There's some bad points. That's how wrestling should be. I should be able to see what I liked and what I didn't like, and I should be able to vouch for what I liked and vouch for what I didn't like. It's funny to me how certain people traipse onto social media saying fans should like this, you guys should feel like that. There's fucking problem with that, especially when it comes to Money in the Bank. How does this tie into Money in the Bank? You know, fingers crossed, NXT makes it work. NXT has less of a fucking roster than Maine does. When it comes to actual, you know, four-on, or like head-on talent. Like actual, you know, who am I to be the judge of that? Let's see. NXT once was graced with Sami Zayn, Finn Balor, Kevin Owens, all of them. That's the past. Okay, this is now. Nikki Cross, Lacey Evans, Ricochet, which a lot of people immediately jumped on that train. There's nothing wrong with being in NXT and not being well known. Because look, Mandy Rose, Sarah Logan, who's supposed to be, and people will razz on me for this, Crazy Mary Dobson, because the Wyatt family had to break up. It was brilliant. Brilliant to have Bray as Mary. Crazy Mary, no, not Crazy Mary, but yeah. Sister Abigail. There's a lot of people that could have done it. But point being, NXT has less talent, and yet they produce less talent to work with, meaning their mainframes are Nikki Cross, Velveteen Dream, Ricochet. I shouldn't say less talent. They have an array of choices, a plethora, if you will. Whereas main roster also has talent. They just, it's not them. It's the way that they are presented to fans. Presented as in, some fans don't care. They boo, they cheer, they get all up in it. They get upset, they throw their shit at the TV. Trust me, I've seen it. You want to talk about ridiculousness, man? Here it is. When WWE presents Money in the Bank, that means the winners of said matches are going to get an opportunity to face their respective champ brand champion, right? So let's say Lana does win the briefcase. My honest thought is, okay, I know that people will always react a certain way when certain things go down in wrestling. Some of you have said, I will quit watching wrestling altogether if Lana wins. I think she's deserved. I mean, there's mixed reactions right now on Wrestle_Radio. It just so happens, folks, the opportunity to get said briefcase is once in a lifetime. This pay-per-view is kind of like the rough draft, if you will, of what's going to happen at Mania 35. Which I'm definitely, you know, how do I put this? Mania kind of has its red flags too, but I go because I get my merchandise. I've been to WrestleMania 8 times, so does it matter? And each time there's something new that happens and I sit here and bitch and complain about it, that's the joy of being a fan. Because it gives me something to look forward to, right? Not about the bitching and moaning, but Hall of Fame. Now we've got NXT TakeOver. So there's two things that I look forward to. Oh, and of course, the ever-so-famed WrestleCon. All right, my friend just handed me some notes because he had questions from you all. And one of them says, if you go so much, why do you bitch and complain? I just said, I don't go there to bitch and complain all the time. Also, we have another note that asks, what was it like seeing a ladder match in WWE pay-per-view? Well, when I was a kid, I went over to my friend's house and watched a ladder match between Shawn Michaels and Razor Ramon at WrestleMania. Actually, yeah. WrestleMania 10. And some of you are asking me, well, what can they do to improve the product? No, guys, there's a lot of things they could do to improve upon it, but the very first thing that they should have take heed to or taken warning or hint to or from, give the fans they have been asking for. Some of you like Samoa Joe, some of you don't. That's up to you. I personally feel that Samoa Joe should go and win that briefcase because him challenging a SmackDown Live champion, AJ Styles, imagine that. AJ Styles versus Samoa Joe versus Shinsuke. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of people that can make the WWE title look better. At least on SmackDown Live, you won't have to worry about less attendance from AJ unless he's injured. Yeah, it's a direct shot, my friend. Look, Lesnar is not the greatest of all champions, and here's why. The fact that he's not even defending his title again at Money in the Bank proves all the critics' points, and that is attendance. So that fans can have relatability when he comes to a venue. Some people, like I said yesterday, I don't understand why some of you chant Suplex City, but I'm not going to dwell on that because then that makes me the asshole saying, you guys can't chant for this guy, you can only chant for this group of talent, like Finn Balor or Kevin Owens or somebody. All I'm saying is you guys don't want him here, but yet some of the fans with the IQ of fucking 12 sit there and go, oh yes, Suplex City. Why? Because he beats up Roman Reigns, you idiots. Let me just explain this to you. This is how this works. When you have a referee who makes a controversial decision about who exited the cage outside of Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, which set the tone then for the match between, I don't know how, but shortly thereafter when Jinder Mahal found his way to Monday Night Raw, he now has a feud with Roman Reigns. Stuff that makes fans cringe at WWE, because what was the point? Just like you have a what the fuck moment when they booked Big Cass against Daniel Bryan. We all know that Daniel Bryan's trying his damnedest to get Big Cass over, but at what cost, man? It's none of my business, but Cass is like the big dumb idiot who walks into a room and you say, well, he's very observant for a very big guy. I said, his moveset, it's not just his moveset, it's his attitude. I can be a certain way and the locker room won't, you know, negate who I am. Again, it's like Scott Hall says when it comes to having friends or making money. I think Cass has the same philosophy. Maybe, I don't know, but he needs a tag team partner. He needs a manager, something, someone that will elevate his career, just like Zelina Vega has elevated Andrade Cien Almas. If it weren't for her, that dude's career probably wouldn't have catapulted as big, because she has great timing and she's a good manager. The point I'm trying to make about Big Cass Daniel Bryan being booked at Money in the Bank is where to put him. They don't know where to put Big Cass. Without Enzo running around being the hype man, Big Cass now has to speak on the microphone, and boy, is it god-awful. Those two matches, Jinder Mahal, Roman Reigns, Big Cass versus Daniel Bryan, can you say, okay, somebody's going to have to carry Big Cass? Big fucking obvious hint there. It's not that Daniel Bryan can't. It's just, why, at one point on SmackDown Live, would you book Big Cass in between two of the best wrestlers today, out of Kenny Omega, out of Cody Rhodes, out of the Young Bucks, out of people whom others may consider to be overrated, underrated, I don't care. But why would you place Big Cass in the middle of match two? The only decent matches that I see for WWE, I don't know yet. I will be the judge of that, so will my friend. My friend and I made the agreement that we will see for ourselves after all is said and done. Money in the Bank, we went last year to St. Louis. It really wasn't all that great, considering Baron Corbin, who is now the constable, which is a joke in my estimation. Who fucking makes this shit? Who? Because I know Mercury sure as hell the fuck ain't there anymore. And I know that reading through the current staff, it doesn't matter. But fucking shit? Okay, so he couldn't make it as a wrestler. Now you made him an authoritative figure. That's just one domino effect right after the other. If you are making decisions and making them hastily, like, okay, you had Shinsuke Nakamura as part of that match. You had Sami Zayn. I believe Kevin Owens was also a part of that match. Didn't ever occur to you to give fans a semblance of what we want? Because we gripe, bitch, and moan and complain about everything. So if you give us one of those things that we bitch, moan, and gripe about, it may behoove you. I've never fucking used that word before on a fucking podcast, but it may behoove your interest to give the fans their intrigue, their wants, their desires, not everything, but, you know, don't spoil us. Just give us what we want some of the time. If you give us what we want all the time, that's an added bonus. Because Money in the Bank 2018 isn't necessarily out of the woods just yet. But like I said, the best way to fucking do this shit is watch it before it happens. Then make your assessment. It's fun to make predictions. It's fun to pretend that you're a panel and that you're Renee Young or Charlie or whomever, the Carrot Top or lookalike, whatever. Or Booker T or Jerry Lawler or Lita, and make your own predictions and have prediction sheets and have the fun of being a fan. In other words, what workers like to call most of us, marks. Then you have what we call fan bedlam. The fact that Royal Rumble sent us into a frenzy makes it worse, because Royal Rumble gave us a taste of what could be. I don't know who fucking booked that show in Philly, but geez, a loop all the way from top to bottom before Andrade Cien Almas, before all the call-ups. You had a show that just resonated with fans, the Royal Rumble. Shinsuke, Asuka winning the Royal Rumble. Okay, cool. We know who's going to win the championships. So we thought. So never ever jump to a conclusion or assume. You had Gargano, who gave it his all and did really good in NXT, but lost, came up short against Andrade Cien Almas. I mean, the quality. I think Ember Moon defeated Shayna Baszler for the NXT Women's Championship. I believe in the facts that, you know, there's going to be a teeter-totter of how the show works. It'll be up, it'll be down, it'll be up, it'll be down. But Money in the Bank 2018 better prove it's fucking worth. Why? Because it's not the end-all, you know, the end meet-all ends, but at the rate that WWE is going, man, the ratings, not just the ratings, the merch sales, man. Why are they having all these sales? Is it to help push the merchandise out so you can get numbers? Yeah, that's smart. But not only 20% off, like literally every week, every single week there's a sale on merchandise. Something's going on. Because normally, last year around this time, they didn't push sales at all. are numbers down? I got to do my research. But am I going to dig to be negative? No. I'm just concerned because as a fan, I get emails all the time. 20% off the title purchases or 50% off Father's Day sale. I mean, that's smart marketing. That's not a problem sale. But this is around the time last year when they didn't have, I mean, they probably did, I don't recall. But the sales, the questionable pay-per-views, questionable meaning, did this really just happen and is it going to lead to something? What are the builds? What are they going to build it off of? That's my initial process because I've seen firsthand at how WWE does things. After all, I'm not the all-knowing expert because, let's see, 8 WrestleManias, 20, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33. Yeah, 8 will be 35 because I definitely plan on going. All right? I'm not joking when I say I'm going to WrestleMania 35, even after the fact that I said I might as well just go to NXT. Because as soon as NXT sales, you know, go on, I'm definitely jumping on that first. WrestleMania, I don't got to worry about that. I've learned that. Fucking shit, dude. There were still seats available at the Superdome 3 weeks before the event. Same thing with Money in the Bank. That shit's not going to sell till like, what, 2 days before? They're going to really, really fucking push the sales because third-party vendors are trying to desperately sell this shit. Look at NXT TakeOver. Look at the sales. Not just the sales, but look at the product of NXT. Look at who runs it. It's not just Triple H, guys. There's the parts of the brain that function, right, without the temporal lobe, the cerebral cortex, the frontal lobe, the nerve, you know what? I don't know all the parts of the brain, but I'm going to tell you there has to be a William Regal. There has to be a Steve Corino. There has to be a shit ton of people. Albert. There's a crap ton that go through developmental, making sure that these men and women that come through the curtain are putting on a show. Just like I'm sure it's the same thing that goes on with the professionals on Maine. I just really, at this point, you question because it sounded so spoon-fed. That's the only thing to me. I listened all the way through the promos on the replay on Hulu. Because I've been through the other side does not mean I am the expert, but I listened to the entire show of Monday Night Raw. And it was catchy. It was okay. It, you know, it made sense to do what they did. They didn't want to do anything too extravagant, too over the top. Both the men's and women's match, though, holy shit, though, something must have been in the water to make them give us good show. Even though I don't know what the clusterfuck idea of having fatal four ways every single week, that's called lazy booking. It's how would I book the matches? Okay, tag teams, that's overdone too, but there's ways to spread it out. That's my only critique of Monday Night Raw was that it seemed as if they read what was written, but the presentation was just like, holy fuck. We already have the suspended disbelief that wrestling is, you know, the way it is because it's scripted, and I fucking hate that word. But they made it, the writers who wrote the fucking promos for the very opening segment. Question. If I come up to someone and say, you look really nice today, and might I add, you have a touch of smell or a touch of good deodorant smell. You see what I'm saying? That, the tone and the frequency of my and the cadence in my voice sounds so fucking fake. It makes me sound like a robot. The fact that they had to resort to mixed match challenge partner's gonna win. Mixed tag match opportunity right there. Sasha Banks and Finn Balor versus Braun Strowman and Alexa Bliss. But because it's Money in the Bank, how would that make sense? a lot of things have to make sense in wrestling. To an extent. Okay? So, I want to ask you all right now, what do you constitute as a good promo, because, or a good build? Because right now, we are days away from Money in the Bank 2018, and that Monday Night Raw was, you know, it was okay. My favorite segments were Sami Zayn, Bobby Lashley match. The women's match was intense. The men's match was intense. Everything had good elements. It's just the fucking promos. My God, dude. It's almost as if we're in high school again. My boyfriend can beat up your boyfriend. When I'm referring to the whole Sasha Banks, Alexa Bliss thing, where they're all on the ladders. That's an interesting way of starting a show. So that aspect's not the problem of, you know, starting them off on ladders. It'd be really hilarious if they got into fights while on the ladders. It's dangerous. You know, you're up there with a microphone. Do you start off a show of chaos? Do you save it to the end? How do you book a good Monday Night Raw show? How do you make fans feel like, wow, we're actually part of this? Is cool, we're interactive. Fans can feel like they're interactive, that they're a part of the show. It's just, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know about the promos. The way that things are presented to fans is something I wanted to touch on that I didn't get to touch on yesterday. If you present to fans a good action, I get the 90-second warning again? Fine, fuck. If you present to fans how you know, think it's going to work for you, you're losing most of the battle. You got to really be able to gauge the fans and how they will react, regardless of whether it be a promo or whatever. So, in other words, I'm excited but yet scared at the same time, folks. I don't know whether to laugh, cry, or feel indifferent, but I will make sure to make that assessment after Money in the Bank. And if you don't believe in what I'm telling you, then I, Brian Rails, got three choice words for you. Forget about it. Toodles, bitches. I got to go to work in this lovely, humid mess. All right. Let's outro me out. See you later. Bye. Look in my